Hello and welcome to this episode of Wandering to Kalan. It's the Europa show from Wolves Fancast. David Evans here. I'm glad to be joined by, once again, Andy Brassel from The Guardian and Football Ramble and On the Continent podcast. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. Sunday morning. It's cloudy. It's not as hot. I maybe get a bit of reprieve for once.
Send us some cloud. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it actually rained the other day for a couple of times on the hottest day on Friday. I thought, where's this gone? I thought it was like the Truman Show where he gets the rain cloud just over him for once. Obviously, we're going to talk about Sevilla, Wolves' next opponents in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Just before we get on to that, I remember I think we spoke for the first time last August, which is, you know, we're still in this season, and that was a year ago. And yeah. I think I asked you how far do you think Wolves could go. And I think you did say the quarterfinals, the Europa League. So you must be justified in your prediction.
It's not a massive shock to me because, as I said at the time, I think you've got a coach in Nuno who knows what he's doing. You've got a squad of players who are not inexperienced and in some cases very experienced in European competition. I think that's really showed in the way they've managed things. I think even that Olympiacos game, and it was interesting hearing some of the hearing some of the commentary in the newspapers and on the television. And I said this on the Football Ramble last week that Wolves have been really below par in the second leg against Olympiacos. I don't know how much performance you can really expect at this point in the season. As you said, it's like a million years ago at the start of the season. Wolves have been in it since before the very start. And if you're playing competently and winning, I think that's really all you can ask. To ask for style points at this point of the season is a bit daft. And that they managed to see out a lot of difficult moments in that game against Olympiacos. And fair enough, Luis Patricio made a couple of really good saves. But I felt they were under pressure, but never completely submerged. And I think that experience really, really showed in the way they managed to tough it out.
Well, the Wolves are arguably going to have their toughest test now on Tuesday against Sevilla. The interesting subplot, perhaps, to the outside world is Lopetegui, who obviously in 2016 was moments away from becoming Wolves manager when Fosen took over. And then Wolves, when he took the Spain job, Wolves went in the complete opposite direction and went for Walter Zenger in the end. Obviously, he's had kind of up and down since then. The Spain job he initially did well, but obviously how that happened, how he left with the World Cup, and then the Real Madrid job and how that kind of turned out. He's been like a season now, nearly a season at Sevilla. How has he found life to kind of readjusting back to kind of football management with Sevilla?
It's been amazing, really, because if you bear in mind, as you said, to get fired from the Spain and Real Madrid job in the space of basically 6 months, how do you get over that? But he has managed to get over that. And even before then, really, it's interesting when you put him in the context of Wolves, because you think of those sliding doors moments and wonder how it would have gone, and obviously he's a name. I'm not convinced that Wolves would be any way ahead of where they were if he'd have got the job instead of Zenger, and I'm not sure they would have got where they've got any quicker, because up until this season, really, Lopetegui has been very, very unconvincing as a club coach. Of course, Spain is totally different. I think he did a really good job there before it ended in that really weird fashion. But there were still huge question marks over him, and Sevilla appointing him was seen as a bit of a risk because he's had a few short spells in Spanish domestic football as a coach, nothing particularly convincing. He went to Porto and they gave him backing and money to create this sort of Spanish revolution there, and it went really badly wrong, and season and a half he was gone, and they were lumbered with such huge financial obligations off the back of largely Spanish players that he brought in. I mean they're still paying it back, and that was a long time ago now, and they've just gone into what, their second or third FFP arrangement with UEFA. So he's not particularly fondly thought of in northern Portugal. So I wondered if this was kind of a last chance for him. I mean, with Sevilla, the way they run things, the stability is further upstairs anyway. It's with Monchi, the sporting director, who's now come back, and the directorship of the club. And if it hadn't gone well after 3 months, I wouldn't have hesitated to get rid of him. I mean, to say he was going to be given time, he's been given time because his results have been good.
Yeah.
You know, it's time that he's given himself. So really, it's a testament to how well he's done this season. I mean, defensively, the side have been impeccable, really. And the fact that, bearing in mind, there's quite a large turnover of players, that Monchi was getting busy in the transfer market again, for him to bed that down and in the end make them pretty comfortably a fourth spot. I mean, they've been absolutely peerless since the resumption of La Liga. Mm-hmm. It's a huge feather in his cap, and it's changed a lot of minds about him, because whereas, as I said, he's a big name, in club management, not thought of as a major player. He started to maybe change those perceptions a little bit with what he's done this season.
Because I hadn't realised, and I was just doing a bit of digging on Sevilla this season, that after Emery, Sevilla had six managers in 3 years. So, you know, to bring in someone like Lopetegui, given his past, like you say, it was a bit of a risk. And maybe, well, I read somewhere that even the local media had to be convinced a bit when he was appointed, because there was some eyebrows raised that, is this just another long line of managers that we've been bringing in that are going to fail?
Yeah, and there's huge expectation now, because if you look at Sevilla, and we'll come to talking about it, I'm sure, because of what they've done in the UEFA Cup and in Europa League. Sevilla in the last 15 years is way, way different to Sevilla before. And if we go all the way back to when they first won those two back-to-back UEFA Cups in 2006-2007, you're talking about a team that was really stylish, and that was a massive break with what went before. Under Juan de Ramos, they were amazing to watch. They came pretty close to winning the La Liga, and Sevilla were always known really as being gritty, competitive, tough, all of those sort of things. And all of a sudden, people all over Europe were watching them, and I think you look at them financially, they shouldn't have the budget they've got. They shouldn't be able to compete with not only Real Madrid, Barcelona, other clubs across the continent, but they shouldn't really be able to compete with Wolves, because Wolves are from the Premier League and they've got more money.
Yeah.
But what they've done in terms of establishing themselves in not exactly the European elite, but I guess like a European A category, I suppose you could say, because they're consistently good in the Europa League and they've had the odd Champions League season. That would be the next step for them, making sure that this Champions League campaign isn't a one-off next season, but something that they can do pretty well in. And it doesn't feel like it would be a massive leap for them with the team they've got, with the management they've got, with the ability to probably improve the squad a bit this summer, because whereas no one's got any money, they're far better at trading, and Monchi's far better at trading than most people are. So, I mean, they're such a well-run club. I think they're a great template for Wolves, for example, who are trying to become part of that European elite rather than this be a one-off season, or become a European regular at least, rather than this become a one-off season. But with that success does come a little bit of expectation as well. And, you know, that's the reason that some of those coaches haven't lasted that long.
Talked before about how kind of defensively solid they are now. If my calculations are right, I think in all competitions they've only lost 8 games so far this season. So what is it about them that has made them so, you know, become so hard to beat?
Well, they've been very well coached by Lopetegui. There's no doubt about that. But they restructured the defence and it's worked really well for them. If you look at the three that regularly start, so you've got Sergio Reguilón, who's on loan from Real Madrid and coveted by Chelsea, amongst others. Very good, scored in the last 16 game against Roma. And then you've got two new centre-backs in Jules Koundé and Diego Carlos. Diego Carlos was, I think you could argue, been the best centre-back in La Liga this season. He's been so, so good. I know people say Sergio Ramos, but to qualify him just as a centre-back, it's more his personality rather than his defensive steeds that sort of make him what he is. And then you think at right-back, they've got Jesus Navas, who was still a right-winger when he arrived at Manchester City, and it was Pep Guardiola that kind of tempted him into becoming his right-back, which in turn has kind of extended his career, really. So to bed in those players and for it to work has been very impressive. Like I said, Diego Carlos has been a huge part of that, chased by Manchester United, Chelsea, a few other teams. There's been talk of interest from Arsenal, but quite how they could afford him, I've no idea, because his value has gone through the roof. I mean, this was a guy who was a good defender in Ligue 1 for Nantes, but has just improved stratospherically really this season. Koundé next to him is a young guy who they invested for them quite a lot of money in, but I think he's already shown that he's going to go on and become a really, really good player. And then you look at the solidity in the middle of the field. I think what's really worked for Lopetegui is he's brought in a few players that I suppose, so some players that he's got a pass with, like Oliver Torres, but I think really the keys are Fernando, who played for Porto for quite a long time, as well as playing at Manchester City, and Juan Jordan. And those are both players who are very good on the ball, but you could kind of imagine them being what lower division managers would call ratters in like League One or League Two as well. Yeah. You know, they're guys who are quite snappy. And I think the fact that they're fit and physical is something that makes an enormous difference. I think if you look at the team as a whole, they defend from the front as well. Lucas Campos, who's been their best player this season, is a huge part of that. And, you know, you think he arrived in Europe as this kind of wonder kid from Argentina when he turned up at Monaco. And a little bit like Eric Lamella, he's turned into something totally different to what anyone thought he would be, because his work rate is absolutely feverish. He really changed minds at Marseille about him and became a key player when there was a point where none of the coaching staff rated him at all, but he just changed their minds by working so hard. And, you know, he's again been one of the best players in the league this season. And when you've got that no let up from the front, I think that makes an enormous difference. It's just, the whole team hangs together very well, and they're just very competitive.
When I saw those highlights against Roma, so then it was obvious, especially from that first goal, how kind of pacey their players are. And you talked about there how they're very defensively solid, but they've got those kind of, like you say, ratty players who can get dug in. It feels very kind of similar to what Wolves, how they play in terms of very defensive solid, and they can break on the counter. That's why I think perhaps from a neutral point of view, this is going to be a very fascinating game. What is their kind of style of playing formation? What can we expect in terms of that setup?
Well, they'll go 4-3-3. There's no doubt about that. And they'll be very thorough. They're comfortable in possession, but they're never going to overcommit, really. I think that's the interesting balance between them. As you saw with that second goal against Roma, the way which they counter-attacked, the pace with which they counter-attacked, is incredible. And I think, I suppose this is the thing about Wolves as well, really, to think that they've got like this much energy. And I know people, as we said, you know, they played within themselves a little bit in that second half against Olympiacos. But to have as much in the tank as they do at this stage in the season, it shows how well conditioned they are. I think you could say the same about Sevilla. So look, I think don't lose the ball in midfield is the absolute key to this game, because it could be at the other end in like 7 seconds time. Sevilla are a totally different challenge, I think, to anything Wolves have faced before, because they do have that poise, they do have that ability to change up the team. I mean, I think you're seeing at the moment the depth of that squad, the fact that they have got a few different options. I mean, a few of the picks against Roma surprised me. I was surprised to see Nesri start, because Luke de Jong, even though he hasn't really scored consistently, has been a good contributor in terms of holding the ball up and pressing and that sort of thing. So I think what is so good for them is that they could change like four players from that lineup that started against Roma, and it wouldn't change the way they played, and it wouldn't change the quality of the team. I mean, that is the one thing you can say with Wolves. The 11 kind of picks itself in a certain way, pretty much like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done for Manchester United over the last couple of months. And it's a thin line at this point in the season whether that is the continuity that you need or whether you get to the point where you're asking too much of those players. And it's a difficult decision for a coach to make, isn't it?
And you mentioned all those kind of names in the Sevilla squad from top to bottom who've been very good for this season. If you had to pick out kind of one standout player that we should be keeping an eye on, who's perhaps the danger man for Sevilla?
I think you'd go Campos, simply because top scorer, creates a lot, heartbeat of the team. I think the way he just is competitive from like minute one to minute 91 is something that's like a great example for the rest of the team and really, really pulls them forward. The only other thing I would say is Ever Banega, because he's playing his last, well, hopefully from a Wolves perspective, game for Sevilla, from a Sevilla perspective, last games. But he was great against Roma again. He's someone, again, who can handle himself in the middle of the park, but he can control the tempo. And if it's hot, as it's been in that part of Northwest Germany for a number of weeks now, actually, that's something that's I think could work really well for them. Just as you think that if Wolves want to control the pace of it, they're going to rely on Ruben Neves and Moutinho. Banega is that for Sevilla. He's someone who's immensely strong from set pieces as well. It's going to be hard for them when he moves on, because over two spells, he's been absolutely brilliant for them, and he's someone who's got a great attitude. He's found his real best self after a few up and down times at other clubs at Sevilla. But yeah, he'll want to get a great send off as well. So Campos has been their player of the season. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, don't count against Benega, because he's still really useful.
Final question. I'm not going to ask you for a prediction for this one, because I kind of feel like with neutral venue as well, it could go either way. When we spoke, I think it was before Espanyol, when we got to the knockout stages, I asked you who your favourite was, who you thought would win the Europa League. And it was Inter Milan at the time. As we've had a couple of games gone on now, are you still sticking with Inter Milan with that one? Has your opinion changed? Where are you at with winning it?
You know what? I was asked a couple of weeks ago on a pick Sevilla, actually, because it kind of is their competition, really. They are exceptional in it. The thing that concerns me about Inter, and Inter are definitely a contender, just like United are a contender, just like Wolves are a contender. I actually think you can build a case for most of the teams that are still in it. I mean, the fact that it's changed venue and Leverkusen are not far from playing at home. I mean, if they were to end up playing final, and they've still got Kai Havertz, and they're very suited to cup football. Peter Bosch has been to the Europa League final in recent memory. If they end up playing the final with Leverkusen, it's 15 minutes from home, which is something that they weren't expecting when the draw was made back in February. So the thing that concerns me about Inter is they will have an inexplicable brain lapse at some point. The only question is, can they ride it out? The quality they've got is incredible. The squad they've got, I think you can argue, is the best of all the teams in it, especially with the job they did in getting in Christian Eriksen in January, and Ashley Young has been amazing for them. The fact that they're able to bring Eriksen off the bench against Getafe and scored pretty quickly shows that sort of depth they've got. So I think they've got better depth than anyone. But then again, the first 25 minutes, half hour against Getafe, you wouldn't back them to beat anyone the way they played in that game. So Inter can win it, but totally unpredictable. It's an incredibly open competition. That's all I can say, really.